Hey, this is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the next step, the Holy Week edition, the Maundy Thursday, the Great Thursday edition of the next step, as we prepare for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're glad that you're with us. Here's a look at life and Easter and Holy Week through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. So kick back right now and know that this podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Can you sense the excitement in my voice? Well, why not? It is Easter Sunday. Well, we're approaching it, and this whole week it's been exciting. We are here at Epostle West. Yes, we are at the Glendale studio, and today I'm excited also because we have with us Ken, our engineer. He's engineering today's show. We have Ani with her bubbles. Of course, Susie, our producer. The whole gang is here, and we're ready to begin. Let me start off with this. At dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here." That's right. Hallelujah. That is a beautiful message. That is what it is all about. That's what Easter is about. Aside from all the chocolate bunnies and Easter eggs and everything, this is the message. He is not here. And those women were the first ones to receive it at the tomb, and it has reverberated 2,000 years later. We are hearing it today. Now let's continue. Listen, because it only gets better, okay? We're going to continue. Same chapter in Matthew, chapter 28. And we're going to continue where it said, "He is not here, he has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Now this is the message that was given to the women by the angels. Now, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. Think about that for a moment. What is that? Afraid but filled with joy. Can you think of a time in your life afraid but filled with joy? Well, what's the joy? Because you know that the worst has not happened. In fact, it can only get better, but you're afraid because you don't know what it means. You have no clue. What does it mean? He's not there. You know he's not in the tomb. You know he's, well, you saw him violently die, and then you know you placed him in the tomb, but this morning he's not there. Okay, there's a fear factor there. Nobody has done this before. Nobody has done this, but there's that possibility. There's that little bit of hope that, hey, maybe everything that he said, maybe everything that we learned is possibly true. That yes, he has won over death. That's the source of their joy. That hope, that dream, that possibility, that's the joy there. But there's fear. Is it really true? Is it really possible? Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Do not be afraid. You've got the proof. You're seeing it right now. Do not be afraid. And that message has reverberated for 2,000 years. That message has been the one that they have clung to and have witnessed to. And not only that, but have been willing to go all the way, including giving up their lives for. Now you think about it. You don't do something like that. You don't give up your life for something that is possibly like a dream or an image, or maybe it's a metaphor. You don't give up your life for a metaphor. Yeah, Easter is springtime, you know that. And, you know, well, it's just new life. It just means new life because, you know, the sun is warming up the planet and we're just seeing a new life. And that's what Easter is all about. It's the new. Now, you don't give up your life for a metaphor. Because when push came to shove, when these people were told that, hey, deny the resurrection, deny that this was happening, these people had a choice. They could have said, okay, that's fine. Yeah, yeah, you know what? Deep down in my heart, I know it's a metaphor. I'm not going to die for it. But no, no, it was so real. It was so real. It was so real that it took away their fear. It took away their pain. And that's what we're about today. Here we are 2,000 years later, and we're hearing this message. I wanted to have that freshness of the same way it had on that first Easter. It is a fresh message. That's right. It's fresh every single time we hear it. For a real Christian, it's the idea that, yes, Jesus is alive. He is alive. That tomb is empty, and that tomb is empty. Every time I look at it, I shall not fear, for my Lord is with me. He is with me. Now think about that for a moment. How incredibly powerful that is. To be able to conquer even death means that you can conquer everything underneath death, because that's like the ultimate thing, right? So you can conquer everything else. You can conquer jealousies, addictions. You can conquer relationships. You can conquer everything else. Because basically, in the big scheme of life, if there is an order, a pecking order, so to speak, you've got death up at the top. And here, now we know that there is no more problem. I mean, what was the saying that there's only two things that are definite, death and taxes? Well, here in the United States, next week we get to pay our taxes, but we have conquered death. Jesus has conquered it and has told us that the same is guaranteed for all of us, that we can conquer the greatest of challenges that are in front of us. We can conquer the greatest obstacles in front of us because we have a faith and a belief in a God that is not just something that we find on the pages of Bibles. It is not just something that we find in history, but it is a God that is interacting and working in our lives today. We become a means by which that God touches others. We become a part of the collective body of Jesus Christ. And that message came to Armenia back in the 40s. No, not 1940s. Ah, no, no. Not even the 1840s, but back in the 40s. What 40s? Yeah, the 40s. Okay, not 1940. 40. Okay, Jesus. 33? 30? Okay? Some 7 years later, Thaddeus brought the message. Who is Thaddeus? Well, he's not just somebody who read the Bible. Actually, there was no Bible at that time. What? Yes, there was no Bible. But there was a church. There was a church before there was a Bible. Isn't that interesting? When Jesus resurrected, he put together the church, his body, and he says, you will carry on my mission. You will do the work that I need to do here in this world. And the church is my body. And I want you to go to all corners of the earth and proclaim to everybody that this resurrection is true and there is a possibility to beat all of the difficulties in life. There is even a possibility to beat out death because I did it. The tomb is empty. Take that message to all corners of the world. And so Thaddeus, one of the disciples, now turned apostle. Okay, apostle means one who is sent. Thaddeus goes to Armenia and he preaches the Christian message. He preaches that the tomb is empty. And you know what? The good old Armenians, well, they didn't greet him by making him shish kebab. They didn't greet him by making some great pilav and pahlava. No way! They killed him. Yeah, yeah, they did. He was martyred. He was put on trial. He was said, okay, hey, look, forget about this nonsense. Jesus did not rise from the grave. And he could have easily said, because, hey, no peer pressure either, right? He's by himself. I mean, you might think that maybe if there's a few people, some people might stand up and say, well, you know, there's peer pressure. I'll stand up and pretend, okay? He didn't have to. He didn't have to. He said, I am a witness to the resurrected Lord, and I cannot deny that. I cannot deny that. Just before his resurrection, we did deny it. Just before his resurrection, we saw him go up on a cross and we all fell away. All of us turned our backs. All of us walked away. We just could not handle that. We denied him. But hey, after the resurrection, it was so real. That same body that was put into the tomb, that tomb was empty, and that same body came and talked to us. That same body came and lived with us. And we know we are the witnesses to that resurrection. And he brought this message to Armenia. And in Armenia, instead of greeting him with all kinds of food and cognacs and wines and everything, no way, they killed him. And God was good enough to send to Armenia another apostle, Bartholomew, who came and brought the Christian message. And again, Bartholomew was martyred in Armenia. Now you think about this for a few moments. What's going on over here? Who are these Armenians? Well, they are very special people because not only was the apostolic message brought to them, but the apostolic church was formed. Apostolic means that they were formed by the word of Jesus Christ brought to Armenia by the apostles and continuing the tradition of the apostles. And so in the year 40, in the year 50, you've got the early forms of the Armenian church forming right there. And it wasn't until the 4th century, right at the beginning of the 4th century in 301, when Gregory the Illuminator was taken out of the pit, Horvirab, and the conversion of Armenia took place. The first nation to accept Christianity as its official religion, as its state religion. And Christianity begins to flourish as the Bible is translated, as a set of forms, as an alphabet is created to translate the holy words of God into Armenia. And the Bible is translated and it is passed on and through the Holy Church to the Armenian people, the apostolic tradition, and it comes to us right now. It comes to us despite all kinds of difficulties, wars, famines. It comes to us even though there was no defender of the faith at many times. It comes to us because of all kinds of difficult political conquests, events that take place in Armenia, and it still arrives to us even after genocide, two genocides of the last century, one in 1915, which exterminated most of the Armenian people, 1.5 million Armenian people by the Turks. They said, we don't need this Armenian people. Let's get rid of them. There will only be one left. Crucify the Armenian people. There will only be one left. And we will put that one in a museum so people could see and say there is an Armenian. The second genocide, of course, began in 1920 when it was a mental genocide for 70 years of communism. Let's take away the God from the people. Let's take away the God from their God, and we will destroy this people. We will make them not Armenian, but Soviets, good Soviets. Hey, that didn't last, did it? That didn't last. The power of God, the crucifixions are temporary. The resurrection is permanent. Crucifixions temporary, resurrection permanent. The Armenian people experienced another resurrection. And so here we are. Here we are in the year 2012, bearing witness to this event that took place 2,000 years ago and continues to take place in our lives. All you need to do is be like those women who go up to that tomb and look at that tomb and say, it is empty. My Lord is not here. I have joy in my heart because I believe it. I have fear because I don't know what the next step is, but that's okay. I can deal with the fear. And as soon as you say that, what happens? Just like to the women, Jesus comes right in front of them and says, do not be afraid. This Easter morning, we're getting that message. Do not be afraid.
Yeah.
Kovya Jerusalem Haryav Christos. Praise be to Jerusalem, today Christ has risen. That's the way you pronounce it, and that's the way you sing it. Wasn't that beautiful? That is from the Hoved album, and I know you're going to want to check all of their music out. Because, you know what? When you believe something, you sing it the proper way. Listen to how that was. Did you feel the excitement there? Well, that's the excitement of somebody who believes it, and that's how all of our spiritual songs, our hymns, should be sung, with excitement. For after all, this is like, this is ultimate excitement, isn't it? Like, even death was conquered, and that's what we're celebrating today. Of course, we're a little bit before Easter. Today is Holy Thursday, and I'm just really excited because, see, as Christians, we get this opportunity to know what's beyond Good Friday. Of course, the first Christians who actually experienced that Holy Week, the Passion of our Lord, had no clue. Yes, they were told, they were promised, but they had no clue. Nobody was expecting this. They saw their Lord be denied, betrayed. They saw him go up on a cross, and they all ran away. They had no clue what the first Easter was going to be like. In fact, they go to the tomb. And people say, oh, well, they believe. No, they didn't. They went to the tomb to anoint the body. They thought they were going to find a body there. And they go there, and what happens? The tomb is empty. Now, we fast forward 2,000 years, and here we are in 2012. Well, we know how the story ends. But, you know, of course, today being Thursday, we have, well, these beautiful traditions in the Armenian Orthodox faith. We have the tradition of walking through, walking with Christ. And we are right in the middle of Holy Week, actually, because this morning we celebrated the Divine Liturgy, which was the institution of the Last Supper. In other words, we recalled the Last Supper, how Jesus took the bread and the wine, and he said, "This is my body. This is my blood." And it became the foundation for what we do every single Sunday. It is the one sacrament of the Holy Christian Church, which is repeated the most often every Sunday. And, of course, during the week. Now, this morning, we celebrated the Divine Liturgy. This evening, we're going to have the washing of the feet. What a beautiful tradition. I mean, it begins again with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, read it in John chapter 13. He takes off his robes and he comes down on his knees. And he starts washing the feet of his disciples. What are you doing? What are you talking about? Now, this, you're talking about Lord and Savior. And he's washing the feet of the disciples. They got to remember, no asphalt, no concrete. These were dirty, dirty, dirty feet. Okay, he didn't have the advantage of cleanliness. There was dirt on the floor, and these people were walking through the dirt. And he, Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, comes on his knees, takes off his robe, and he takes some water, and he takes the towel on his side, and he washes the feet of the disciples. John chapter 13. Peter says, "I'll never let you do that. I'll never let you wash my feet. I can't. Give it to me. Let me wash your feet." I can imagine I would do the same, right? Wouldn't you? But what do you? It's bizarre. It is really bizarre. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, "If I don't do this, you have no part in me." To which Peter responds beautifully. He says, "Not only my feet, wash all of me. I want every part of you. I'm committed to you, wholly, totally." And Jesus, after he washes the feet of the disciples, he takes his robe back on and he says, "Do you know why I did this?" Now, here's the lesson. No guessing at this point. Here's the lesson. He says, "You call me Lord and Savior, and you do right. I am Lord and Master. And if I, as Lord and Master, wash your feet, how much more you should be doing to one another. Love one another." And then, of course, in John chapter 13, if you follow through, this is where you get one of the most beautiful lessons in Christianity. It is the farewell discourse. And I highly recommend that you read it, especially this evening, tomorrow, just before Easter. It is basically the standard of what a Christian is all about. John chapter 13, and it goes on. He talks about love. He talks about, "By this they will know that you are my children." It is the essence of Christianity. And so here we are in the middle of Holy Week. We're getting ready for Easter, but in preparation, we are preparing ourselves for that beautiful moment. So I invite you, get your Bibles out, start reading what's going on. We're going to take a break right now for Ani. We're going to be back in a few minutes and continue on this beautiful Holy Week celebration of Easter.
A Poor Rich Family, Today's Spiritual Bubble, a story by Eddie Ogan. I will never forget the Easter of 1946. I was 14, my little sister Osi was 12, and my older sister Darlene was 16. We lived at home with our mother, and the four of us knew what it was to do without many things. My dad had died 5 years before, leaving Mom with 7 school kids to raise and no money. By Easter of 1946, my older sisters were married and my brothers had left home. A month before Easter, the pastor of our church announced that a special Easter offering would be taken up to help a poor family. He asked everyone to save and give sacrificially. When we got home, we talked about what we could do. We decided to buy 50 pounds of potatoes and live on them for a month. This would allow us to save $20 of our grocery money for the offering. When we thought that if we kept our electric lights turned out as much as possible and we didn't listen to the radio, we'd save money on that month's electric bill. Darlene got as many house and yard cleaning jobs as possible, and the both of us babysat for everyone we could. For 15 cents, we could buy enough cotton loops to make 3 potholders to sell for $1. We made $20 on potholders. That month was one of the best of our lives. Every day we counted the money to see how much we'd saved. At night, we'd sit in the dark and talk about how the poor family was going to enjoy having the money the church would give them. We had about 80 people in our church, so we figured that whatever amount of money we had to give, the offering would surely be 20 times that much. After all, every Sunday the pastor had reminded everyone to save for our sacrificial offering. The day before Easter, Osi and I walked to the grocery store and got the manager to give us 3 crisp $20 bills and 1 $10 bill for our change. We ran all the way home to show Mom and Darlene. We had never had so much money before. That night, we were so excited we could hardly sleep. We couldn't care that we didn't have any new clothes for Easter. We had $70 for the sacrificial offering. We could hardly wait to get to church. On Sunday morning, the rain was pouring. We didn't own an umbrella, and the church was a mile from our home, but it didn't matter how wet we got. Darlene had cardboard in her shoes to fill the holes. The cardboard came apart, and her feet got wet, but we sat in church proudly. I heard some teenagers talking about the Smith girls not having new dresses, but I looked at them in their new clothes, and I felt rich. When the sacrificial offering was taken, we were sitting on the second row from the front. Mom put in the $10 bill, and each of us kids put in $20. As we walked home after church, we sang all the way. And at lunch, Mom had a surprise for us. She had bought a dozen eggs, and we had boiled Easter eggs with our fried potatoes. Later that afternoon, the minister drove up in his car. Mom went to the door, talked with him for a moment, and then came back with an envelope in her hand. We asked what it was, but she didn't say a word. She opened the envelope, and out fell a bunch of money. There were 3 crisp $20 bills, and 1 $10 bill, and 17 $1 bills. Mom put the money back in the envelope. We didn't talk, just sat and stared at the floor. We had gone from feeling like millionaires to feeling like poor white trash. We kids had such a happy life that we felt sorry for anyone who didn't have our mom and dad for parents and a house full of brothers and sisters and kids visiting constantly. We thought it was fun to share silverware and to see whether we got the spoon or the fork that night, We had 2 knives that we passed around to whoever needed them. I knew we didn't have a lot of things that other people had, but I'd never thought that we were poor. I didn't like being poor. I looked at my dress and my worn-out shoes, and I felt so ashamed. I didn't even want to go back to church. Everyone there probably already knew we were poor. I thought about school. I was in the 9th grade and at the top of my class of over 100 students. I wondered if the kids at school knew that we were poor. I just decided that I could quit school since I finished the 8th grade, and that was all the law required at the time. We sat in silence for a long time. When it got dark, we went to bed. All that week, we girls went to school and came home, and no one talked much. Finally, on Saturday, Mom asked us what we wanted to do with the money. What did poor people do with money? We didn't really know. We'd never known we were poor. We didn't want to go to church on Sunday, but Mom said we had to. Although it was a sunny day, we didn't talk on the way. Mom started to sing, but no one joined in, and she only sang one verse. At church, we had a missionary speaker. He talked about how churches in Africa made buildings of sun-dried bricks, but they needed money to buy roofs. He said $100 would put a roof on a church. The minister said, "Can't we all sacrifice to help these poor people?" We looked at each other and smiled, for the first time in a week. Mom reached into her purse and pulled out the envelope. She passed it to Darlene. Darlene gave it to me, and I handed it to Osi. Osi put it in the offering. When the offering was counted, the minister announced that it was a little over $100. The missionary was so excited. He hadn't expected such a large offering from such a small church. He said, "You must have some rich people in this church." And then suddenly it struck us. We had given $87 of that little over $100. We were the rich family in the church. Hadn't the missionary just said so? And from that day on, I have never been poor again. This has been your Easter spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Honey, I don't know how you do it. Where do you find these things? Beautiful, beautiful. I love it. What a perfect story for Easter. I mean, you set the pace. You set the tone for the rest of the week. Oh, I love it. I love it. What a beautiful, touching story. Just right in its place. You know, it just adds to the celebration that we're having over here. This really feels like old times. I got to tell you, it's a fun little afternoon that we're sharing together at the Apostle Studio. Of course, we've got Ken back. Ken's here doing a show with us. He wanted to engineer today's show, and I want to welcome him back. Got a nice tan. I thought you were up in Canada, and he tells me he was out in San Lucia. That's a nice little place. I don't know. Just heard it's a nice little place. Of course, Susie, our producer, and you guys are getting along really nicely. That's nice, too. And last night we had Nushkar making. We made the wafers for the Holy Eucharist, Nushkar, at our church in Glendale. And of course, Linda from the Compass broadcast, she was here with her family. It's been a family week, all week long. We had Palm Sunday, a lot of children, saw Vahe from the background, the whole Apostle family coming together this Holy Week. I mean, to me, you know, this is what it's all about. A lot of good times. Hey, listen, here's Susie to tell you about the Apostle family and what we're doing over here, and we'll be back in just a second.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the 4th year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The Next Step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Address your comments 24/7 to our email address, feedback@epostle.net, or via our website at epostle.net. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced The Next Step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to The Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that wonderful reminder that we have to all take part in this and share in this beautiful ministry. And would you have believed it? I didn't. Maybe I would have believed it, but I would have said I doubted it when we started this broadcast, The Next Step, a few years ago, that we would hit number 200. Yes, today is episode number 200. It's kind of hard to believe. It really is. But we've been broadcasting every week on the week. I think we started off on Wednesdays and then we hit the Thursdays, but once a week, consistently. So this is week number 200 in our Next Step broadcast with the usual. What a way to celebrate. We got Kim back here from the original band, bringing it back together. And we have expanded into new areas too. We've got Compass with Linda Zadoyan. We've got the sermon series, the In Step with Christ. We've got our Bible studies, a lot of great stuff. So do check us out on epostle.net. What a great name. Easy to remember. I remember Apostle. Change it with an E, hey? We're dealing with an electronic crowd out there, right? Anyway, also on epostle.net, I want to invite you to the archives because a lot of good stuff has been taking place. I mean, I was skimming through the archives. You know, we've been going through each and every one of the events that take place in the world. Cataclysmic events. Yes, I mean that too. I mean, when you talk about some of the major events viewed through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, what does your faith say about what's going on in the world? Should it say something? Should your faith have relevance in this day and age? Well, we think so. And that's what Next Step is all about. So do check out the archives, whether it's the Next Step, the Compass, the Lenten Journey. You know, one of the neat things about Lenten Journey is it's up there now. So you don't have to wait for Lent. If you feel like doing a 40-day period, a good friend of mine just did a 40-day fast of cleansing. Want to do a spiritual fast, there they are. There's 40 episodes. Put your mind to it. There's some discipline involved, and there you go. You could do those anytime. We have the Holy Week series up there. You've got a few days left before Easter. You still can catch up. It's 9 series all in all. So, you know, Epostle is this place where everything's coming together. We're hoping that we're going to be putting together some new programming in the next few weeks, and we'll have some announcements about that shortly. But for right now, please do share it. As Susie says, you know, support it. A lot of ways to support it. You can write a check, press on the donate button, or do share it. You know, when you think about all the garbage that you share, really, I mean, have you ever thought about it? Would you ever take out garbage to the curb? And then say, hey, you know what? I think I'll just share this. I think I'll go and spread it throughout the neighborhood. Wow, where did this metaphor come from? Well, it came from the other day. I was looking at this thing that I won't even mention. Okay, somebody forwarded me this email. And I'm going, like, what is this? This is trash. It's garbage. But what are you guys believing in? You know, it's like one of those miracle kind of things where, like, you know, the dog starts bleeding and the blood spills down and it looks like Jesus and, you know, so Mary should be doing. I go, come on. Is this what it's come down to? And people have fun forwarding it, you know, because at the end of it says something like, you know, if you send this to 5 people, then you'll have good luck. If you send it to 10 people, you'll get married and you'll have riches. And if you send it to 15 people, all these things. But if you don't, you know, watch out. What's going to happen? Oh, come on, folks. Want to send something out? There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. Along with the Next Step, each Next Step has show notes. And in those show notes, we hope that you'll take advantage of them. We put links to some great places that you need to click on, that you need to connect with and find out what's going on. That's it. That's what Epostle is all about. It's electronic ministry. It is apostolic evangelism for an electronic, and let's take advantage of that. It's expanding, the expanding universe concept. We're going to be back with some final thoughts on today's celebration. Of course, this Sunday being Easter, we have this preparatory time, which is called Holy Week. And we've been going through Holy Week. Today's podcast was a little bit different than usual. You know, I like to take some issues that are taking place in the world and relate them, or at least view them through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. But you know, everything gets shadowed and really diminished in the sight of the resurrection. And I think it's so important as Christians that we really focus in on the resurrection. I'm saying this because I think we've lost something very dear and personal to us. I think many of you will agree that many years ago, many years ago, at least in our lifetime, we do remember the times when Easter was really a celebration. You'd hear about it. I remember growing up, it used to be on TV. There'd be different Easter programming. And, you know, yes, there was the secular programming, you know, with the Easter bunnies and the eggs and everything. But there was also religious programming, too. But this year, it's just been so silent. It's been so quiet. Because basically, Easter, Christianity, Jesus, the message of Jesus is irrelevant. I know, that's a hard one. That's a hard one to admit. But it has become irrelevant because we've made it irrelevant. We're not making the ties. We're not tying it in. You know, we sometimes wonder about, like, how to get people into church. Whether young or old, sometimes we wonder about how to get young people. I mean, are we getting old people? Are we getting middle-aged people coming to church? Our pews are empty, and this goes cross denominations. All denominations are facing difficulties in getting people to church. Well, because we're presenting a Jesus that is kind of like out there and not really connected to what life is all about. Look around you. We're facing some very difficult times financially, economically, not only here in the United States, but throughout the world. I mean, you look at what happened in Greece, in Spain, you've got collapses of economies. Right now in the United States, we're facing some very difficult times because of the high unemployment rate. And it's coming down a little bit, but it's still out there and to make ends meet. Our group goes out to Skid Row once a month. They come back with reports. They tell me about it. They tell me about the new people that are there. Some people that you just think about for a moment, you know, you're one check paycheck away from being out there yourself. It's a very, very difficult time. And then you talk about Jesus. Well, what is Jesus? Is it supposed to be some kind of an opium, as Karl Marx said? You know, is it some kind of a drug that's just supposed to make you feel good? Jesus loves me, and so I feel good, you know, as the Bible told me so. Or does Jesus really have a message? I think some of our big leaders, that if you look around you and you see how economically and politically they were able to find strength. And now, this is very important, okay? This is very important what I'm going to say right now. Because there's a lot of mix-up. People will say, well, Jesus' message was not a political message. No, but his message was one about being one with all around you, being one with God, with yourself. And when you have that inner strength, you are able to tackle the problems that are around you, whether they're economical, whether they are political, whether they are social, whether they're in your family. If you've got that inner strength, stability, and you are at peace with yourself, with your surroundings, with God, everything falls into place. Everything falls into place. That Jesus said it, right? He says, set your mind on God's kingdom and all else will follow. I mean, think about that. Set your mind on God's kingdom. And so, yes, Jesus was not a political leader. It wasn't about getting political freedom, but the lessons that you learned through Christ, he taught you a way of living. He taught you a way of being at one with God, with yourself. He gave you the instructions on how to make your life productive, beautiful, glowing. He says, you are the light of the world. A light does not go under a bushel basket, but it is placed upon a stand so that it lights up the entire house. Your life has to light up all that you touch, all that see you, all that you come into communion with. And this is the beauty of the Christian life. Yes, it's not political. It's not a political. It's not economic freedom. But it gives you the lesson of how to, yes, endure, how to survive, how to have patience, but most of all, how to conquer. And the conquering is not with weapons of, well what the politicians will tell you, but it's with the weapons that Jesus Christ taught us with. It's the weapon that won on Easter Sunday. It's the weapon of love. And so this weapon doesn't make sense in ordinary terms, but it does for the Christian. Because love is at the bottom of it all. Look what happens up at the cross. Up at the cross on Good Friday, Jesus looks down from the cross and he sees people there who he loved and he cared about. These people have turned on him. He sees people there that he healed. These were little children. These were his children. These were people that he created, that he gave life to. And instead, these people, instead of saying thank you to him, they're looking up at him. They're spitting on him. They're mocking him. They've nailed him to this cross. And he looks down at them and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Is that an expression of love or what? And it's that love that conquers. Because they put him into a tomb and they thought that it was over. And then they get to the tomb and what happens? The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. Even death could not hold down that power of love. And that's the celebration of Easter. Jesus, love incarnate, in other words, love taking form. Jesus is killed, crucified. By human terms, is placed into a tomb, is placed in a grave so that nothing can prevent it from coming out. But the power of love is greater than that grave, greater than the cross, greater than all of the difficulties out there, and he comes out of that tomb. That's what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. And we celebrate the message that he says to each and every one of us. Courage. The victory is mine. I have overcome this world. Think about that for a moment. This is the courage that Jesus Christ gives us on Easter Sunday. It is the courage that gets you through all of your crucifixions, gets you through your cancers, gets you through your mental difficulties, gets you through your relationship problems, gets you through life. The courage to have Christ within you. And I'm inviting you to get involved in this Easter celebration at all levels. Become the Christian that Jesus wants us to be. How? He says, by this they will know that you are my children, by the love that you have towards one another. Get involved wherever you can. I'm going to throw out a few invitations to you, and I want you to get involved wherever you can. First of all, get involved in Issues Ministries. In Issues is really important because it's not only about loving, but about respecting, feeling the pain of others. You won't love somebody until you can respect them. And how do you respect them? You walk in their shoes. We have all kinds of programming that take place. Particularly, we reach out to people that just cannot help themselves. So feeling their pain, you walk in their shoes. Next, get involved on a personal level, okay? I know, it's fun. You sit in front of a computer, you listen to these podcasts, you listen to broadcasts. You do need that personalization because Christ was about personalities, about people. You know, he could have done all of his miracles from heaven if he wanted to. He could have done all of his miracles just sitting back, kicking back. But instead, he reaches out. Remember, at each time when they come up to him and they say, please heal me, he touches them. He interacts. It's very important that we interact because all we have in this world is one another. Okay, God has given us this beautiful gift of love. It's meant to be shared with one another. Interact, help. Get involved in a church, and if they don't have an, you know, sometimes churches tell you we are Bible-based. Say good, urachim. Say thank you for being Bible-based. But now, does that Bible also include Matthew chapter 25, where it says, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was in prison, and you visited me. If that includes that, and there are outreach means, then get involved on there. If not, get a few people together. If, you know, I'm saying this because there's this phenomena of, well, it's my parents' church, it's my family church, I belong to this church. And this particularly not only in the Armenian church, but you see it in a lot of the traditional churches. Okay, this is my parish, this is where I belong. Okay, fine. But it needs somebody to be the catalyst, to basically light the flame underneath it and say, this is okay, but, you know, there has to be something more than that. There has to be something more than just decorating the altars with flowers, lighting candles. It has to be an expression of love, which is demanded to us by Jesus Christ. There you go. You see, people are going to say the man's over there trying to get people to listen to Apostle. No, it's there's got to be some hands-on element to it. Yes, listen to Apostle. Listen, download as much as you want, but you have to do some hands-on too. Want to invite you, if it's Easter morning, Sunday morning, wherever you're at, get involved in a church and do praise God. It is the day for praise. It is the day to thank God for the blessing of life. If you happen to be in the Southern California area, please do join us. We're at the corner of Stalker and Kenilworth in Glendale, California. We're going to have two services. At 8 in the morning, we're going to have an English language sunrise service. At 10:30, we will have the High Mass, which is done in the Armenian language. Please join us if you can. And I want to tell you, here's a little sneak preview for you. July 16th. I want you to keep that date open. We're going to be doing a camp in beautiful Santa Barbara Mountains. That's looking off the beautiful California coast. This is the first time I'm telling anybody about it. Just signed the contracts yesterday. It's going to be a great day. If you can get away for a few days, for a week, we're going to be up there and we're going to be doing some great programming out there, giving you a head start on it. We'll get some more information and put it up, let you know about it in the coming weeks. That's July 16th and that entire week. A beautiful camp program, a retreat setting like you've never seen before. I want to end today's show with the singing of Chorut Chorhin. It is the beginning point of the Divine Liturgy and the beginning point of Armenian Orthodox theology. I play it right now because resurrection is the beginning point of all of our lives. Without the resurrection, there's nothing else. There really isn't. Okay, because it's just another life. It's a life that begins and ends. With the resurrection, we now find meaning and focus because we know that life is there forever. We know that life is precious, so precious that you can't just plow it into the ground, but something that overcomes even evil. And so this song, Chorut Chorhin, Mystery Deep, Inscrutable, sung by Lucine Zakarian. I want you to just close your eyes. This is my Easter gift to all of you. It is composed by Gomidas Vartabed, who sees the destruction of his people, who sees even genocide, and is able to lift up his voice in praise and say, Chorhurt chorhin anhas anaskispan. Mystery deep, inscrutable without beginning. Lucine Zakarian was the artist on that. Special blessing, a special gift to all of you on this Easter time. I want to wish you all of the best to every one of you. Every one of you who are listening to this podcast, who download it, who take the time to write us, who participate, and just pray for us. God bless you all, wishing you all the best this Easter and every single day. May the resurrection be the focus for all of us. May that the blessing of the resurrection, that empty tomb, be what guides us all to love, to care, to have compassion, and to reach out to others, to show the world that Christians are people who care, who are defined by love, who reach out and spread that love, who are truly the children of love incarnate, Jesus Christ. Well, there you have it. Happy Easter to everyone. Christos Hariavi Merelots. Want to take this opportunity to thank everybody who makes E-Possible and the Next Step a reality, starting off with our producer, co-worker, co-founder, Susie. And of course, Ani with her bubbles, Vahe, who does all the background stuff on our website, Varujan, who put together this cool tune that we listen to every week, for Linda doing her Compass programs, and of course to Ken, who's back doing this guest spot engineering today's show, to all the wonderful people who support us all the time, especially the people at the St. Peter Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in beautiful Glendale, California, to the unsung heroes, Sevon and Christopher, and to our prayer partners, Yedetsky and Susan, and Amersh. Love to all of you. God bless you all. Christos Hariavi Merelots.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.